The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. While some of the people were speaking about how the temple was adorned with costly stones and votive offerings, Jesus went on to say, "All that you have seen here, the days will come where there will be nothing left. Not a stone upon another stone, it will be all torn down." And then they asked him, "Teacher, when will this happen? And what will be a sign that all these things are about to happen?" And he answered, "See that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time has come. Do not follow them. When you hear of wars and insurrections, do not be terrified, for such things must happen first, but it will not immediately be the end." And then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. There will be powerful earthquakes, famines, and plagues from place to place, and awesome sights and mighty sounds will come from the sky. Before all this happens, however, they will seize and persecute you. They will hand you over to the synagogues and to prisons. They will have you led before kings and governors because of my name. It will lead you to giving testimony. Remember, you are not to prepare your defense beforehand, for I myself will give you a wisdom in speaking that all your adversaries will be powerless to resist or refute. You will be even handed over by parents and brothers, sisters, and friends, and some of you will be put to death. You will be hated by all because of my name, but not a hair in your head will be destroyed. By perseverance, you will secure your lives." The Gospel of the Lord. A week so surprising that it impacts the entire world. And I'd like to speak a few words about that by way of a disciple's perspective, and how somehow we are meant to interpret this in the light of our belief and in light of the gospel. I am not interested in speaking politics. One side won and one side lost. Some people were happy, some were not happy. However, very few people would anoint the process. The process itself caused many people great concern. In the best traditions of our country, we had ideals: truth, honor, nobility of character, always cherished, even if not realized. They may now have become less than the minimum standard. The arrogance of certainty may have eclipsed civil discourse. Have we abandoned a hospitality for diversity necessary for a healthy people? Wounds which were hidden for too long came to the surface: anger, disappointment, fear, disillusionment. And yet we are people of hope. Joan Chittister, in her book, Scarred by Struggle and Transformed by Hope, has this to say to us: it's not the struggle which defeats us, but the failure to struggle. This is defeat. In Jerusalem, there is great tension amongst the Israelis, the Jews, the Muslims, and the Christians. It's palpable. But there is one place in Jerusalem. Some of you may have visited when I was there. It's a hospital for palliative care. And in there, Muslims, Christians all live in peace. It's administered by a German nun, Sister Monica, who is a good friend. So when I'm in Jerusalem, I visit her. Here, there's a common bond. The common bond is people facing death. Sister Monica, on one of my visits, told this story by way of a teaching. In the community of the hospital, the dying community there, a dying community with much life, there was an Orthodox Jew, and he died shortly before the Sabbath. Since his family were Orthodox observant Jews, they were not allowed to travel on the Sabbath. And they lived a distance away, and therefore they had this man's funeral before his family arrived. And when they arrived, Sister apologized to them for having the funeral in their absence, but in order to honor his Orthodox belief. And the family said, "Sister, it's just fine because he died amongst his family." The Orthodox Jew died amongst Christians and Muslims. Their wounds and our wounds are our blessing. Our burdens are our bond. And compassion must be our witness if the gospel has a meaning for us. There's a parable told, which I am sure you have heard before, but it's worth remembering now, wherein you are asked, if you were arrested for being a follower of Jesus Christ, during the process coming up to this election, if you were arrested for being a follower of Jesus Christ, would they have enough evidence to convict you? The way you spoke, the way you acted, the values you expressed, would that be enough evidence to convict you of being a member of Holy Family and a follower of Jesus Christ? Amen.